Welcome to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me today again is Emily Jaminet. We continue our conversation, but as we begin, let's pray first. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Lord God, we just lift up in prayer all of those who you have placed on our hearts this day, maybe those that we have already met and encountered this day, and those that we will. We just ask that you bless them, especially those most in need of your grace. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. So, Emily, the last time we spoke, we talked about your story, and you came from a very solid Catholic family. You went to Steubenville and received a really excellent Catholic education and formation, which set you up to live in a beautiful Catholic marriage and family. As we continue, I know that there is something very important and, pun intended, close to your heart, which is the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And I wondered if you could maybe talk a little bit about how important the Sacred Heart has been, both from your origins and now as you live your life.
I thought everybody grew up with these images of the Sacred Heart in their parents' home and in their grandparents' home and in their great aunts' and uncles' homes. That image was always a part of really my being and my growing up. But I knew it was special and extraordinary when my grandfather turned 80 and he got a letter, a birthday note from Mother Teresa of Calcutta. And I thought, what is Grandpa doing to get a note from Mother Teresa on his birthday? But what he was doing was so extraordinary, but yet so ordinary. He was producing images of the Sacred and Immaculate Heart in his basement, laminating them, cutting them on this hardback, and shipping them to India and Albania for all of the homes of the dying. And that got my attention as a middle schooler and has always had my attention to, you know, the why. Why is Grandpa doing this? And yet the answers came at the end of his life. He lived a beautiful life, a simple life, but at the very end, he died a beautiful and peaceful death. And so did my grandparents, my great aunts, my great uncles. And there was something different, and that was their devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. And as a result, they also, you know, loved and honored his mother, the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So that type of presentation in my life was always there. It was a backdrop. And yet it really was a calling to go deeper and to understand the why. And I think the why for me is I want to have a heart like Jesus. And they lived it. They expressed it in their joy and in every family gathering. And it's really been a tremendous privilege to promote this devotion, because I've realized that's where a lot of the breakdown in the family is. It's our heart. It's how we love. And we can't love without Jesus's love.
And then growing up in your own and your parents' home, too, the Sacred Heart had a central place as well.
Well, my parents tell a funny story. They didn't understand what my grandpa was doing either. No one really took the time to listen to his story. But it turns out that actually after he passed was when they started doing, a digger deep, what are these books? What did Grandpa do? And other people telling us about what my grandfather did. So we actually did the enthronement to the Sacred Heart about 1989, 1990. And I still remember sitting in my parents' room and, you know, they saying, this is what we're going to do. I'd never heard of the word enthronement, but it was a subtle step of falling more deeper in love with Jesus. But we can all say it was very transformative for the life of not only myself, my parents, but my siblings. So it was kind of a launching pad into loving Jesus.
For curiosity's sake, although, you know, of course, in an interview, it's always curiosity's sake. As you were going through high school and college, did this devotion to the Sacred Heart kind of stick, or was this something that maybe you came to appreciate later in your own life?
You know, it's kind of like I just had my fifth teenager. My fifth son just turned 13. I think you take things for granted, and that's what I realized. A lot of these devotions and practices, I thought that everybody had them, or that they just were the backdrop to my life. Mm-hmm. But it was really a looking back moment and seeing that that devotion was such a stabilizer for my family. And we would talk about the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, for example, not just Jesus, but His Most Sacred Heart. We would speak about His love for each one of us, my parents' love, and then God, Jesus' love for us. So it really was subtle, but very powerful. And I think a lesson for not only myself, but for all Catholic families to pass that love on to others.
And that, you know, back to the story of kind of conversion, your own experience, you know, we were talking about off mic about, you know, each of us have our own stories, and some of them aren't as dramatic as St. Paul's. Some of them are, you know, just, you know, I've always been Catholic. I was in a Catholic family, you know. But there is that taking ownership aspect. And a lot of it is, hey, I've got this beautiful treasure has been handed over to me. Now it's for me to really kind of take on for myself. I mean, in the sense of the, legacy is I think, is the key word.
Well, what I found, Father Adam, is just really my speaking and writing career, I realized that these ordinary examples of passing on the faith, such as, you know, living out this legacy of Catholicism, is not really talked about. And Michelle and I, as we were writing and collaborating our stories, the common thread we had is that we both were blessed with amazing Catholic families. And so I think that that is something that should bring hope to families if they weren't raised with that gift of being in a Catholic family, and that you want to pass it on to the next generation. So it's really impacted me, but the devotion to the Sacred Heart was one that was always present, but really came alive, I can say, when our family did the actual enthronement about 6 years ago. That's when I started seeing that it was always present, but I never made that conscious decision to welcome Jesus and to develop this devotion.
When I think of those parables from the Lord, you know, the pearl of great price or the buried treasure, you know, in the field, where you initially discover it, but then you have to sell everything in a sense, to buy the field or to buy the pearl, that, you know, we realize this gift that we've given, but then there's a sense of kind of digging it up and taking it, you know, for ourselves. And in the sense that this pearl was planted in your life, this the pearl of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and then as you claimed it as your own through your own enthronement, you see even the, you know, I guess even how more spectacular it is.
You bring up a great point, Father, because even in our own family, when we placed the images of the Sacred and the Immaculate Heart up in our home, it was kind of a bold step, right? Because you have I actually have two beautiful images that were my mom got in the antique mall. And it was like, okay, I'm going to put these up. And then I was starting to pray, you know, honoring, saying, you know, oh, Most Sacred Jesus, I love you, you know, trying to soften my own heart. But I can say there was a specific moment where I was in a point of transition. It was late one night, you know, all the kids were asleep, my husband was asleep, and I just kneeled down and I just said, Jesus, I give you all of this. I give you my vocation, you know, I give you my children, my children's education. And I can literally say I could feel the weight off my shoulders and an unleashing desire to live the gospel in a new way. So as those parables, you know, there's an enthusiasm that grows where the, you know, when you're searching for the pearl, you give it all up. You know, that was my moment, that quiet night. But you don't know until you look back and you say something happened. There was a special grace that happened in that moment. And from that moment, all the kids went to Catholic schools. They've been there ever since. And there was big change for our family, but it was really us being freed up to live our faith in a new way.
The how have you kind of intentionally encouraged this devotion in the life of your own children?
Well, like you mentioned, the Great Pearl. First, developing an appreciation for our traditions, our cultures, our ways. It's really important to explain to the children. They don't just, they need explanations sometimes, and I think that's really important. So I would say placing the images in the home was the first thing. And then about really a year or two later, we did the official enthronement, where it's not a sacrament, Father, it's a devotion. So we prayed leading up to it. We placed the images on the mantle. We did some prayers, and we just welcomed Jesus. That was as simple as that, but into the messiness of our home. And we know that he is always there as our King, our Savior, our brother, our protector, you know, he our friend in those ordinary moments. And it definitely has given us extraordinary grace. And it's shown not only myself, but our whole family, that our ultimate goal is to love them and to love each other like Christ loves us.
Excellent. I think as, you know, to begin, and maybe we'll continue this in our next bit of our conversation, but there's also, you know, a ministry that you're a part of. Maybe you could just intro it, and then the next time we speak, we can talk a little bit more about it.
Sure. So as I mentioned, that simple moment of enthronement, I would have never thought that I would be involved in a ministry with this, but it's been a privilege. I started writing articles about enthronement because nobody knew about it, just on the side at Catholic Mom, Catholic Digest, and the response was extraordinary. And then I realized all this wisdom was right in my very own home and community with the Sacred Heart Columbus and the impact it had here locally. And since then, Sacred Heart Columbus and the Sacred Heart Enthronement Network, our national ministry, have blended together because we really believe the Sacred Heart desires to renew not only our home, our city, but really the entire nation.
Excellent. Well, you've been listening to Conversations on Discipleship. I'm your host, Father Adam Streitenberger. With me has been Emily Geminette. And as we conclude, let us pray. O Sacred Heart of Jesus, have mercy on us and on the whole world. Amen. And until next time, peace and all good.